Jerry Doyle Show.
Oh, good. Anita's with us. Anita Finlay. Oh, thank God. I was just looking at a headline that was coming across my screen here. Actress arrested in Texas ricin letter scare. And I was like, oh, please don't let it be Anita Finlay. I knew it wasn't you because you're solid.
Oh, no.
And, you know, but you're an actress. You're on 24. You're Dr. Nora Thompson on The Young and Restless. You're an author. You book Dirty Words on Clean Skin. You write great op-ed pieces. And I love having you on the program. I was like, oh, thank God. It wasn't her. Did you see the story about this actress? Do you know her, by the way, Shannon Guess Richardson? Have you ever heard of her?
No, I don't. I try to stay away with the people, you know, who send the ricin letters. That's not my peeps.
She called the FBI and fingered her husband as the one who was sending the ricin letters. Yes, exactly. And now she just got arrested. What the hell is going on in the world, Anita? Everything seems to be nutsoville these days.
Jerry, I feel like, you know what I feel like? I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, and I also feel like I'm invisible. But as you know, the reason I wrote Dirty Words on Clean Skin in the first place, I felt like I was invisible in 2008 because as a Hillary Clinton supporter, and I went out on conservative blogs to write this, I said, for the first time in my life, I know what it feels like to be a conservative. Because in the mainstream media, I was called every filthy name in the book. And, you know, it went on from there. It was like nobody knew who I was. Nobody was representing me or the 18 million supporters she had like me. And so I think what we're seeing now with the NSA and the wiretapping and everything else, don't you feel invisible? Don't you feel like when the president gets up and does a press conference and he says, well, you know, it's on the full authority of Congress and they know what's going on. Well, did anybody think to tell us and ask our permission? I mean,
no.
We elected you guys.
No. Well, the president today was in California touting, Obamacare, and they're starting to parse the words. And you know a word can significantly change a scene or it can flip a plot point on its head. One word. The word is secret. And that's what everybody's been talking about, these secret NSA wiretaps and going and looking at Google and Skype and Yahoo and Verizon. And the president came out today and he said, no. It's secret in the sense that it's classified, but it's not secret. So here comes the political spin.
Please.
Here comes the word games to try and calm us down. And what the president says is hype about our concern about our constitutional rights and people picking through our trash, going through our emails and listening to our phone calls.
No, this was really awful because I listened, and I all due respect to our president. I have to tell you that listening to him do a press conference, it's like getting six shots of Novocaine in a row.
Yeah.
Because it's at the end, and by the time he gets out of there.
Right.
You know something? If you know what the truth is, do you have to hem and haw? Do you have to take 6 hours to say one sentence? The truth sings. It sings fast, and it doesn't need parsing. It doesn't need word salad. And they know they're in trouble. And the thing that really was wild about this is that bloggers like me, you know, I figured this out, and I'm no super genius. I figured this guy out, and I figured this whole situation out from my living room couch 6 years ago, and it took about 10 minutes because the same media outlets who were touting George Bush were pushing Barack Obama. And now, on the cover of the Huffington Post, I never thought I'd live to see the day. I won't say they stole, but they borrowed a picture that had been on a blog for years that has a picture of Barack Obama morphing into George Bush, and the name of the picture is George W. Obama.
Yeah.
And it's half one and half the other because, you know, these kinds of programs started back then, but, you know, they've continued. And when the Patriot Act was renewed, it was with little fanfare. So the press was up in arms when George Bush did it. But now that Obama does it, he doesn't say anything. And I really have to hand it to Glenn Greenwald, who used to write for Salon, but I think he got a little too critical of this president because he said that as a Democrat, he was ruining the Democratic brand because he was getting people to accept what they would never accept if George Bush did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, this is relatively not new. I mean, it started with the Church Commission hearings back in the 1970s. This was going on during the time of Nixon and Carter. It continued under Reagan. It went through Clinton. We saw the same thing with George Bush, the Patriot Act 2006. And here we are today, government response to a crisis is bigger government, more people, and more money. And, you talk about the media. You know, it's like they say, if you're really angry, you're really upset, and you're writing a letter or you're writing an email, don't send the first one. But that's usually the one that is about as raw and real as it's probably going to be. So the New York Times writes an editorial piece, President Obama's Dragnet. Now, when they first wrote the piece, they said the administration has now lost all credibility, end quote. Then they edited the editorial later that day to say the administration has now lost all credibility on this issue. So when people look at, and maybe some people didn't catch it, and this morning I was listening to Fox, and Fox said, the president said, I mean, the editorial said about Obama, that the administration has now lost all credibility. And I'm like, no, that's not what they said, because I had read the edited editorial. I didn't read the original. Fox was right. But the people who don't like Fox think Fox is editing. The people who don't like MSNBC thinks MSNBC is editing. The people who don't like the Times, they think it's a cheerleading outfit for Obama. And people right now are just going, what the hell is going on out there? Who do you trust for your news? Who do you trust to know that the government is doing the right thing? And people are just turning around, looking at each other, going, the hell is happening to the country?
No, but I think. Well, look, you're absolutely right, of course. And I heard your rant yesterday, and I agree with you 100%. It's very frustrating because that goes back to what I said. You really do feel like you're invisible. I mean, I call Congress all the time. I used to call my senators all the time. It didn't matter. You know, they would just sort of be very patronizing, even the ones who were nice on the phone and pat me on the head, little girl, and sit down and, you know, eat your lollipop, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And I think that, you know, we really, here's what also bothers me about this, is I feel like there's some sort of a malaise that no matter you have people like you and me, and, you know, there's a lot of others out there who are becoming more active as a result of this, and who have changed their lives as a result of this. And that is the good news. Unfortunately, everything that happens, every time we have a crisis like this, don't you feel like, well, don't you ask yourself, well, where is the pitchfork moment? I mean, I never would advocate anything.
No, I know what
demonstration.
You're saying.
But, you know,
metaphorically speaking.
Still, yeah, exactly. When is the pitchfork moment? And I really feel that, you know what I think, Jerry? I think it's that we are so inundated. It is all of a piece. We're so busy trying to make a living and keep the roof over our heads, and people are juggling all these jobs, all this technical crap with Twitter and Facebook and everything. All the conveniences of life actually are more inconvenience, because what you own owns you. And what I feel like is the more crap that we have to deal with every day, the less time we have to do what you're talking about, to stand up and make a noise and get out the pitchfork and march on Congress or the White House or wherever, or call your representative and make a difference.
Yeah, I think the first thing that I said yesterday that we should all do is just stick our elbows out and claim our turf. I can put my elbows out, and I got about 4 square feet, and that's mine. and that's mine. Don't come in here. Do not come in my space. And you put yours out, and you got another 4 square feet, and then we start adding another 4 and another 4 and another 4. And pretty soon we got a pretty good piece of land that we're going to protect in any way that we have to and minimize the damage that they want to do to us under the guise of supposedly helping us. And I think that's part of the way, while we're being proactive in pushing back on a tyrannical government, a tyrannical IRS, a tyrannical NSA, whatever else we want to include in there, but we also have to be very firm in what it is that we claim to be our own, and to do things that we can do that affect the quantity and the quality of our life on an immediate basis, not waiting for all these grandiose things to take place, like a constitutional amendment to make sure that the government doesn't dig into our emails. By the way, the last constitutional amendment, the 27th Amendment to the Constitution, it was involving Congress's pay. They couldn't raise their pay while Congress was in session in that session of Congress. Now, that was ratified in 1992. Do you know when it was submitted?
No.
1789.
Oh, my God.
213 years for Congress. And I hear people say, we need to ratify the Constitution to make sure the government isn't reading our emails. Really? It took them 213 years to ratify what was submitted in 1789 with regard to congressional pay. I'm thinking, okay, you can wait for the constitutional amendment, or you can just figure out what you need to do for yourself right now. I only have about 30 seconds left. I know what you're doing for you. You're cruising the Mediterranean, are you not?
Yes, I am, and I've packed more than you can possibly imagine.
Where in the Mediterranean? Are you doing Italy? Are you doing the Greek islands?
We're doing Spain, Italy, Greece, Malta, Turkey.
Nice. You know,
so we're having friends stay here and take care of the cats.
Nice.
And all I can say is you don't want to see my luggage. That's all I can tell you.
I don't want to carry your luggage, but then again, that's way too much work, and that's a lot of love required to have steamer trunks full of shoes. Anita Finley, have a great have a great trip. Check in with us when you get back.
And, I will, my dear.
Send us some photos, and we'll post it up on our Facebook page. Have a great time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jerry. Have a great
weekend. Bon voyage.